All right, Luke McCaffrey tweeted out, after struggling with this decision for weeks, the Rutgers situation of him warming up and then being on the sideline in street clothes was really awkward. I have decided to enter the transfer portal and explore my options. I'm thankful for the support Nebraska fans have shown me. I have so much love for my coaches and teammates for my time here. I'm excited for the future. Along with Will Farniok, Cade Warner, they're in the transfer portal. And let the discussion begin. Now it's all, now we got guests on now. So they can handle all these hard questions. Matt Lothrop joins us from KATV. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you, Gary?
Not bad. What do we make of the one-time starter, backup quarterback leaving as winter conditioning begins?
I guess I'm not completely shocked by it, only because we had kind of heard some rumors of that for the last couple of weeks, that something like this was in the works. I think also if you look at, it's kind of very similar path to what his brother did at Michigan with opting out this last fall, hitting the transfer portal here, I think about a week ago. So it's not a complete shocker. And I think that when you see how strong Adrian Martinez played in the final four games when he returned to the starting lineup, I think he completed about 84% of his passes. I think you kind of got the vibe that it was going to be Adrian moving forward. And I think you also have to look, you know, not only could all these seniors come back, and most of them did to Nebraska, but all these juniors could come back, you know, again after next year, with 2020 not counting as a year of eligibility. So you start looking and you think Adrian Martinez might be in town for another 2 years yet.
Do you think, and for some people, I mean, George just alerted me, Scott Chandler, who joins us every Wednesday, we're going to have a fight tomorrow because he's really upset that Luke McCaffrey is transferring. Do you think it would be easier to digest, and we may never know the answer, that Nebraska wanted to use Luke in a different scenario, not as a quarterback, and Luke wants to be a Division I quarterback, and so thus we have the separation. Would that be easier to accept for some?
I think so. I think the real strange thing is the fact that Scott Frost is so adamant about Luke being a quarterback, and not just being, hey, he's one of the best guys on the field. We got to find a way to get him on the field. And maybe that's playing quarterback. Maybe that's playing somewhere else. I think that would be a little bit easier to digest, but I think you can't blame a kid at the same time who kind of sees a jam in front of him in terms of playing time and wants to find a place to play.
Do you think, and then those comments that Scott made on Friday about Luke, knowing that this is, I mean, he just like he knew Wandale Robinson was going to leave ahead of time, he had to know Luke McCaffrey was going to leave ahead of time. Is the things he said about Luke being a quarterback were his olive branch to Luke McCaffrey for any other program that's looking at him, that if Scott Frost is saying that he can play quarterback, other programs are going to look at him and go, yeah, he could play quarterback for us, instead of looking at him as an athlete?
Yeah, I think that I think you want to do right by the kid, even if it even if he's only with your program for 2 years, and maybe I don't think you know yeah, he knew he was going to leave. I don't know if you say, well, you know, we wanted to play him this way, or he didn't want to play this way, or whatnot. I think that you know, you leave everything on good terms, and so yeah, you kind of put that out there. I also think that you know, you hate for somebody to say, well, geez, Luke McCaffrey's interested in playing something other than quarterback, because that might attract some other teams, and might even be some Big Ten teams that say, well, geez, if the guy's willing to play somewhere else but quarterback, we'll take him. We don't necessarily want him as a quarterback in the Big Ten, but we'd take him as a slot receiver or something like that.
So what do you make now of Scott's comments about being more hands-on with Adrian Martinez, and the fact that there's three scholarship quarterbacks in that room? One just showed up to college. The other hasn't played a snap. The other has played a lot of snaps. What's your feeling on Scott's essentially taking ownership of Adrian Martinez for the next year? What does that tell you about their relationship and maybe what this year is for that position and for Adrian?
Well, I think that there has to be I think that somebody – the one thing about that Luke McCaffrey provided this year is it pushed Adrian in a way that he hadn't been pushed since Tristan Jebbia was on campus, and that's possibly why he had such a strong freshman season. I'm not going to say that the guys behind him during the sophomore year weren't adequate quarterbacks, but I think that they did not give him the push. And I think that, obviously Luke gave him a push this year because he looked, the last four games of the season this year, he looked like Adrian Martinez of old. And so I think that you're going to have somebody, and maybe it is a head coach, somebody's going to have to push him here this next year because, I think Logan Smothers, he might be the future and he might be immensely talented, but he's never played a snap of college football. And I think that anybody that has watched Heiner Carberg play football sees a cannon of an arm, but also sees a guy that it's going to take him a couple of years before he's ready to be a Big Ten quarterback. And so you have to have somebody there that's going to kind of be on him all the time because last thing you want is for Adrian to realize like, hey, this is my position. And I don't want to say not play to the level that you can, but yeah, it would be an easy kind of thing to fall into.
So you think, we've now been through this for 3 years, going into the fourth year. We've seen Scott and Adrian's relationship. I mean, there are very few times Scott will say anything negative about Adrian. It became a point where it was on the wide receivers after the 19 season. They weren't getting open. They weren't running the right routes. It's kind of also been, well, it's tough to find a 5'8" wide receiver. We're trying to stretch the ball downfield. I mean, just some interesting comments that the head coach is in the corner of number two, and he's not going to throw him under the bus. He realizes, probably with his relationship, what the psyche of Adrian is. Maybe you got to protect him a little bit more. He's sensitive to that stuff. If you got to go there, you got to go there. I like honesty. But going back to something you made, which I think is a good point, Matt, about pushing, is Scott Frost the guy that pushes Adrian Martinez this year, knowing full well you have new faces that, Logan Smothers, as of right now, is not a threat to Adrian Martinez. But is Scott Frost a threat to Adrian Martinez?
I guess I would hope he is. I would hope that the head coach, I don't want to say sometimes you got to be singled out a little bit and made an example of, and I'm not going to say that that's in a negative way, but he wants the best out of Adrian, and I think that if you're Adrian Martinez, you have to kind of step back and say, this guy's given me every single chance to be the guy. He's had my back. If he's going to make a point and try to push me, he's doing this kind of out of love. And so I think that, I think that it has to be Scott Frost, because I'm not sure that like Mario Verduzco has the personality to really push Adrian Martinez. And obviously, like you said, the depth there, it doesn't really seem like those guys are going to challenge that spot. So I think it has to be on the coach.
Did you get a sense reading through comments from Scott's limited media session on Friday? I keep using the word, I get the feel that there's a sense of urgency. Do you sense that? Or do you sense a different tone going into this season?
I think there's a bit of a sense of like, why hasn't it worked?
Mm-hmm.
Like it's almost like if it's not working by next year, is it ever going to? And at some point, all the progression that they've talked about and the strength training and all that, at some point it has to equal wins. And I really think they thought that was going to be in 2020. And so I think the urgency is like, if it's not in 2021, is it ever going to, manifest itself to wins on the field?
Matt Lothar from KTV joining us. We've gotten enough to talk about that where I have to ask you about the AFC championship game. I think the Chiefs and the Bills are going to do that again next year. I think we're going to see the Bills and the Chiefs playing on that stage once again next year.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. I actually think that I wouldn't be surprised if this coming season, if the Bills take a slight step back, still make the playoffs, maybe don't reach the AFC Championship, but I think that they're a team that's going to be in the mix for the next couple of years. I still think the world of Josh Allen, but it was pretty easy to tell that the moment just seemed really, really big for him and for his counterpart, Patrick Mahomes. It just felt like another big game instead of the biggest game of his life. And so I think you need that. This is a team that's made the playoffs three times in the last 4 years, but they haven't made a run like this since most of these players have even been born. Mm-hmm. So, I think getting this far and kind of, realizing that, you belong here. It's no longer going to be, the feel-good story of the NFL. You want to be the team that makes it a habit to ending their season, in mid to late January.
I think you add some offensive skill guys, and then you got a good start on 21.
Yeah, I'm really surprised that this team was able to make it as far as they did with such a pedestrian running game. I mean, the quarterback is the biggest threat to run the ball. I like the pieces they have at tight end, and I like, obviously, Stephon Diggs and Cole Beasley are a dynamic pair to have on an offense with a quarterback that can make all the throws, but they just never could get the running game going at all. And I think, they made mention of it multiple times in the broadcast, but that team, I think they were last in the league in terms of running the ball on first down. They love to throw the ball on first down, and part of it is, you want the ball in your best player's hands, but the other part is they just didn't have the running back and the running game that you need to win a game like that.
And Moss getting hurt before the playoffs didn't help either, or getting hurt in the Indianapolis game. All right, so with, 13 inches of snow on the ground or whatever it is, let's talk about baseball for a moment. The season is about a month, well, now we're less than a month away for some. And there's no schedule for Creighton. There's no schedule for Omaha. There's no schedule for Nebraska. Omaha is slated to open up a beautiful stadium. I think that's going to be a nice little jewel for not only Omaha baseball, but anybody else that gets the opportunity to use that baseball softball complex right there by Baxter Arena. It is my feeling, and people that I've talked to, that the Summit League will have a normal schedule. We don't know what the Big East will do. We're very concerned about the Big Ten. It's tough to sit here and look at all of these preseason lists coming out for college baseball and some Nebraska guys showing up on preseason All-America lists, knowing that the Big Ten may be a conference-only 10 weekends, 4-game series. What do you think that would do, a conference-only schedule, due to the growth of Big Ten baseball?
I think it will hurt Nebraska. I think it'll hurt any Big Ten team for the next 4 or 5 years.
Ooh.
And the big thing I point to is I look at a guy like Bo Blessey, who barely pitched at Nebraska. He was a redshirt freshman last year. He was banged up his first year, so he didn't play, and then he took a redshirt year, and then last year he pitched sparingly. But this was a guy who was highly touted out of high school. I believe he was drafted somewhere around like the 22nd to 27th round pick. I've always felt like this was a guy who was going to be kind of a mainstay in Nebraska's rotation. And then in December, he transfers out of the program and he goes to Texas Tech. So he's leaving Nebraska to go to a school that is, a team that's in the College World Series just about every year, it seems like, and a program that's a really strong one. And I can't help but think some of that was looking at the league and saying, okay, the spring is going to be just playing against the Big Ten. How am I going to showcase myself against Michigan State? How am I going to showcase myself against Penn State? Indiana, they've had some teams, but how am I going to showcase myself against some of these schools that, aren't going to bring the eyeballs? And I just feel like there might be more of that kind of trend happening. I just think that if you lose a couple of guys even that say like, I want to go play elsewhere where I can play against against better competition. I think that's part of it. And I think the other thing is, the conversation. It's pretty strange that, and I get it, Michigan's roster is completely different than what they look like at the end of 2019 because of the draft. But isn't it strange that the last runner-up in the College World Series isn't even a preseason top 25 team?
Yep, good point.
And I think
Michigan,
a lot of that is because people are saying, well, how good do we actually think these teams are going to be if all they're playing is conference-only games? And when Nebraska joined the Big Ten, this was a league that was getting one, maybe two bids into the NCAA tournament, and it had grown to a place where it was getting six teams into the NCAA tournament. And I just worry that playing these conference-only games and not getting a chance even to play a Kansas State or a Missouri or a Kansas, or you could find a way to sneak in a series with Oklahoma or Wichita State. Without playing these, I feel like you're kind of reverting back to, well, is this going to be a one or two bid league team or a one or two bid league?
I'm with you. I think it sets back a league that has more coaches than I think get credit for that want to be good at baseball in the Big Ten. But if your office doesn't allow you to be good at your sport and, enhance your resume to get into the NCAA tournament where you really make it some noise, I don't know what much more you can do. And I worry about not only players, as you alluded to, Matt, but there's some really good head coaches and good pitching coaches in the Big Ten that may think, you know what, let's go to a conference where they take baseball seriously.
Yeah, and I don't even think it has to be, you have these coaches, I don't think it's even like, I want to go to a place where baseball is the sport. Mm-hmm. I don't think you say, Eric Backich isn't saying like, well, geez, I'm going to leave to go to Clemson, where baseball is, one of the biggest sports. They just want to coach at a place where it's not completely forgotten about. And I kind of worry that the Big Ten might be trending in that direction, especially a conference-only slate, and you're playing, four games a weekend. Nobody's record's going to be great. How many Big Ten teams have four starting pitchers they can throw on a weekend and also have the bullpen depth to get through four games on a weekend? I feel like you're going to have a lot of teams going 2-2 on the weekend. And so the Big Ten is just going to kind of look like a bunch of 500 clubs instead of, three or four teams that can really stand out from the pack.
Great stuff, Matt. I appreciate your time as always. Be safe, be good, and we'll see you out and about.
All right, talk to you guys later.
That's Matt Lothrop from KTV. Last hour is upcoming. We'll get Robin Washington, Tom Chattel's thoughts on the news of the day for Nebraska. And the other news that is going on. Matt's a good baseball guy. Baseball Hall of Fame. They will make an announcement at 5 o'clock today on the newest class. Pretty good shot for the fourth time since 1960. There will be nobody going in. Who will be closest? Will Bonds and Clemens get 72-73%? You need 75%. I think Scott Rolen will make a big leap, but I don't think anybody's going in today. Even Omar Vizquel, and he's got issues that are off the baseball field as well. We're back with more of the Gary Sharp Show after this.